Scientists today tell us that everything is energy. In fact, quantum physicists have discovered that if you deconstruct the smallest components of matter, that eventually you find that there's nothing there. There's nothing there, nothing but energy. That's really pretty mind-blowing, isn't it? Nothing but energy. Albert Einstein once said, concerning matter, we've been all wrong. What we have called matter is energy, whose vibration has been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. Wow, so everything is energy, including us. We are energy vibrating. And most of us can even just take in this moment a second to feel the energy in our bodies. We can connect with our energy. We can feel that in us. And often we wish we had more energy. So where does our energy come from? Where do we get it? And how can we get more of it? So let me ask you the question. What comes to mind when I ask you, where do we get our energy from? What's one of the first things that comes to your mind? Food? Just wait till I hear it. Food. We'll get to that one in a moment. Food, right? So we need food as to nourish our cells and our tissues and our bones. It's our sustenance. But if food were the only source of our energy, it would mean that the more we eat, the more energy we have. That doesn't really work, does it? No. So what's the second thought you have about where we get our energy from, Lisa Farnan?
Sleep.
Great, sleep, yes. Because we know that we need sleep, we need rest, to restore and revitalize our bodies. But again, if sleep were our sole source of energy, it would mean that the more we sleep, the more energy we have. And if you've ever tried that, you know that it really doesn't work that way. There's a point at which it's the law of diminishing returns. So where does our energy come from? Well, let's use a hypothetical example and see if we can figure it out together. So imagine for a moment that you've been unemployed for a year. You lost your job, and you've been applying for different jobs. You've had some interviews that seemed very promising, but they never panned out. And it seemed like each time you got your hopes up, they were dashed. Well, this has been going on for a year, so it's kind of worn you out. You know, you find that you're sleeping more, and you don't really want to interact with people so much anymore, and you're not even participating in the activities that you used to love doing. And then one day, the phone rings, and it's the manager from a company that you previously applied to for a position. And she says that the candidate they hired, the person they hired for that job, hasn't worked out. And if you're still interested and available, that they would love to have you work there. And oh, by the way, if that works for you, could you start next week? Well, you're very excited, and you say, yes, yes, of course. And as you hang up the phone, you feel like a completely different person. Suddenly, your energy is just full to overflowing. Life is beautiful. You're ready to take on the world. You're the same physical body you were before the phone call. So what happened here? Everyone's a positive expectation. So what happened is that you drew on what truly is your source of energy, and it's your heart. It comes from deep within your being. It comes from your heart as you connect to your passions and your sense of purpose and your dreams. Oh, yeah, suddenly you just feel gloriously alive. But it came from your heart. You see, we don't have to do anything to obtain energy. It is intrinsic to us. In Chinese medicine, they call it qi. And in yoga, shakti. And in the West, we typically call it spirit. Spirit energy enlivening us. You know, we say we're spiritual beings having a human experience. It's that spiritual beingness that is our essence, that is our energy. And so this is who we truly are. And we have all the energy we could ever want or need. So the problem is not that we don't have enough energy. The problem is that we block its flow. And in The Untethered Soul, Michael Singer writes that the main way that we block the flow of energy in us is by closing our hearts. That makes sense, doesn't it? If the heart, which is the greatest transmitter of energy in your body, if you close it down, then it's going to impede the flow of energy in you. Well, most of us know what it's like to close our hearts. We've had episodes in our lives where somebody we loved and trusted hurt us or criticized us or disappointed us. And as soon as that happened, our heart just slammed shut. Just boom, shut down. Or maybe you've been through a divorce and you've said to yourself, I will never get married again. Because you shut your heart down. And you did it to protect yourself. It's just it's only natural to do that. You need to protect yourself. But in the process of protecting yourself, you also cut yourself off from the flow of life. You basically have created a wall behind which you are imprisoned. So I like to think of it this way. It's like our bodies are this vast network, sort of an intricate piping system. Channels through which spirit that is us expresses out into the world. And when those channels are open and clear, we're at our best. We feel good. We're happy, whole, centered. We feel at peace. We feel on purpose. But then, along comes something that hits a snag. I think of it as sort of like our inner Velcro. It hits a snag and it gets stuck there. It could be that somebody pushes our buttons. It could be that somebody does or says something that triggers an old emotional pattern in us. You know, Michael Singer says that it's very possible to feel the fear and insecurity of a 5-year-old when you're 60. So these energy patterns in us, until unresolved, they're still there. And when touched again, it can be a catalyst for closing our hearts down. You know, we close our hearts anytime we fall back into that thinking and that pattern. We close our hearts when we judge people. We close our hearts when we criticize others. When we refuse to accept what is and resist it. Or when we cling to the way things used to be and the way that they should be. In all of these ways, we close down. And so as a result, our energy goes away, right? We just start sort of wallowing. We don't feel so good. Our spirit droops. And in fact, it may even affect our health. You know, the mind and body are so integrally connected. I know you all know this, but so connected that an emotional block can very quickly turn into a physical block and manifest as illness. This is a lesson that I have been learning in my own life over the past few weeks. Since the early August, I've had a cough. I know some of you have coughs too. I've had a cough, and I must have gotten it on the plane coming back from Europe in August, but in any event, it won't go away. It has not been going away. And to a lesser or greater degree, I've had it. It was bronchitis. It was croup. It just like almost goes away, then it comes back. So I went to see my holistic doctor last week. And told her how frustrated I was. And she said, you know, the lungs are connected to grief. Is there something that you need to be grieving? In other words, I was holding on to my grief and blocking the flow of energy to my lungs. So I said, well, yeah, absolutely. And I'm coming up on the one-year anniversary of my mother's passing and my stepfather's passing, but it's mostly my mom's. And, you know, I'm aware of that. I haven't really grieved it. And then I said to her, it's not that I mind grieving, I just don't have time to do it. And she said, well, when you get your grief work done, it'll clear up your lungs. Well, as divine order would have it, the end of this last week, I had a beautiful opportunity to do some grief work. And it started out in a very wonderful, with wonderful, wonderful news. So Thursday afternoon, I'm here at the church, and I get a phone call from my daughter's boyfriend. And I almost never hear from him. So is Emily okay, you know? And then he told me, yes, everything was great, that he was going to take her away for a romantic getaway this weekend, and he planned to ask her to marry him. And then he said, so I'm calling to ask for your permission to propose. Well, I love him, I love her, I've been waiting for this to happen. And so I began to cry, and he did as well, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful moment. And then I hung up the phone, and I thought to myself, I just wish I could call Mom. I wish I could call Mom and tell her. She'd be so excited. You know, she really had a special bond with Emily. She would just be jubilant. And then I let myself feel those feelings. And then I began having a conversation with Mom. I said, you know, Mom, I hope that wherever you are now, that you're witnessing this and that you know we're all okay and this is such a wonderful thing for Emily. And then I told her how much I appreciate her. I said, I'm just so grateful. You're my hero, my champion. I'm so grateful for who you are and who you've helped me to be. And it really brought on the waterworks. I mean, lots of tears. And after that was over, I didn't feel instantly healed of my congestion, but I definitely felt clearer. I felt lighter. I felt that I had returned to the presence of God in me, and I felt a great inner peace wash over me. I still need to do that grief work. And I had a professor in seminary that said, unresolved grief is epidemic in our society. There's plenty of grieving work for us all to do. And I know that I need to make the time to do that. But I'm willing to do it now. I'm willing to face it because I want to be healed. Let go, let God. So it really is about keeping your heart open, and as these things come along, whether it's grieving, whether it's an aggravation in life, whatever it is, to be with it, go through it, and it will pass. You know, an open heart fuels the flow of our energy, and it keeps our vitality up, and it's who we're meant to be and how we're meant to live. So Michael Singer says, the easiest way to keep your heart open is to not close it. Thank you, Michael. Yes. Simple, right? Sure, we got that one. But actually, he offers kind of a, in his own way, sort of a two-step process for doing that. The first step is to connect with our true nature, to connect with who we most truly and deeply are. Who we are is not this ego self going through life's trials and tribulations. We are, in fact, the great I Am, awareness and consciousness, the field of being behind all of that. You know, often we identify with that chattering voice in our heads. We all have it, right? Inner voice, constant commentary. Thank you for narrating my life. We think that we are that voice, but we're not the talker. We're the listener. We're that which is aware of what is being said. We're that which is aware of feelings coming up. That was which is noticing and observing. And when we identify with that, it immediately gives us an open heart and a resting place. It's like being the open sky, being an open field, that expansive awareness of God, so that we don't cling or clutch or create stories, and in so doing, create our own suffering. Many years ago, I used to listen to a Buddhist teacher. I would go to Dharma Dialogues, they were called, and her name is Catherine Ingram. And she said something at one of those sessions that has stayed with me ever since. She said, "Freedom is in knowing yourself as the clearing through which everything is allowed to arise and pass." You see, we're the clearing. We're the eternal spirit. And in that knowingness, there's great peace and security and strength. So that's the first step, is to be able to sort of shift our awareness from the talker to the listener, from the doer to the observer. And the second thing is, as we're in that observing mode, that watching mode, begin to notice when something is coming along in our lives that tempts us to protect or defend ourselves. You actually can know in advance that your heart is about to close. You can know it and you can stop it. You cannot let it happen. And that's what Michael Singer says. Make the decision to not close. And instead breathe, relax, give yourself over to spirit, and don't clutch. So life hands us many, many opportunities to do this, does it not? I have been practicing this lately, and I'm really quite amazed. You know, you can see that train coming down the track. You can feel when you've been triggered, and you can stop it from triggering you. It's really quite remarkable. So everyday examples of how to work this practice. You're stuck in traffic. Yesterday, I was going through the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. And I had an opportunity to practice. This is what it is. My getting all tied up in knots and angry, too much traffic, what's wrong with this place, blah, 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 blah. I don't have to go there. I can breathe through it. If your neighbors start making noise in the middle of the night and waking you up, you can feel, I mean, you're just about to think, what are they thinking? How could they be so inconsiderate? Da, 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 da. Don't do it. It is what it is. Put the earplugs in, go to sleep. So many ways to practice every single day. And it really is like a clearing in us. This is doing your internal housekeeping, keeping the flow going, keeping centered in your God self. And if you need one more opportunity to practice, watch a little of the election coverage. Or let me say this. If by some chance you hear or experience a little bit of that, this is an important one. Very easy to get triggered. We're looking at people who have been triggered. And the divisiveness and the hateful language, that is not the truth. Don't let yourself be pulled into that. Remember our oneness. Remember there's more to the story than we know. And behind any outer appearances, all is unfolding as it should. And hold to that faith. And honestly, the importance here is being love. Being love and holding the high watch. The world needs that. Our country needs that. So this idea of closing our hearts is very similar to putting up a wall, right? It's the same kind of idea, because we're going to protect ourselves, we're going to put a wall up. When we remove that wall, it allows our love energy to flow forth. So this week, God provided the most perfect metaphor for this, right here in this sanctuary. So late in the week, the contractors were in here working, and they were working over in that corner, and they're putting in a duct over in the corner over there. And so they had to remove the drywall. And they removed the drywall, they took the wall down. And when they did, they found this. The prayers for love. It's all love. In the name of love, love is my life. I love you. Thank you. Those prayers are written all down this wall. They were written when this sanctuary was created. But that little sliver was such a reminder of the love that we are and the love that's meant to shine through, and in fact, the love that does shine through each of you and through this really beautiful congregation. Yeah. This is God. This is the truth manifesting through us. And so I invite you to bravely live with your heart wide open. Transcend the tendency to close. Let that love at the center of your being fully express. And let God be God in you. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to close your eyes, get comfortable in your seat. Let's just take a deep breath in. Release, 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 and let go. One more time, breathe in deeply. And let go. I invite you in this moment to allow yourself to connect with God. God in you. Turn your attention within to the I Am presence. It is your energy of life, your energy of love, the activating force in all you do. Imagine, if you will, a wide open sky, the boundlessness of that, the beauty of that. Feel your heart expand in that very way. This expansive presence, this spirit in you, calling you to be and express all the beauty that you are. In this vast energy, we are truly one. And yet we each are an expression of God that is unique, individual, and beautiful. I invite you to sink a little bit deeper into this awareness as you freely release anything on your mind, on your heart, anything that might be impeding the flow of divine energy, divine love through you. Just appreciate this knowingness and feel it in the silence. we remember in this vast energy of consciousness that truly we are one. And that each of us is called to be the change we wish to see in the world. No matter what is happening in our lives and our world, we can continue to hold the space and hold the high watch. Do what is ours to do. Feel our feelings and allow all to arise and pass. Anchored in God, following the teachings of our spiritual teachers, Jesus the Christ, Buddha, others who pointed us to this truth, and what it's like to live with an open heart. We're so grateful. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.